This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds. Hemp is marijuana with negligible amounts of psychoactive element THC in it. Humans have cultivated hemp for 8,000 years. Thomas Jefferson wrote his draft of the Declaration of Independence on hemp paper. In 1938, the magazine Popular Mechanics called hemp a billion-dollar crop. Self-described comedic investigative journalist Doug Fine has spoken to scientists and farmers about the uses of hemp around the world and its uncertain legal status. His new book is called Hemp Bound, Dispatches from the Front Lines of What He Calls the Next Agricultural Revolution. Doug, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Russ. Seattle's a home city. I used to live on Bainbridge Island for a little while. So.
Great. Well, good to have you back.
Thank you.
You write that as recently as 2012, hemp-friendly legislation to allow its cultivation was going nowhere, but it sounds as though things have really changed a lot in just the last couple of years.
Yeah, my phrasing for it is an astonishing no-brainer. From researching hemp for 2 years around the world, in the fields, in the processors, I kind of came to the journalistic conclusion that your roommate with the lava lamp was right about hemp. All those claims, they're really true and more, and I'm sure we'll be talking about them, but I had no idea that I'd be returning from the research, putting out a book right as, instead of laughing it out of Congress, the Farm Bill includes a provision to allow the beginnings of hemp cultivation after 77 years.
What actually is allowed in the most recent Farm Bill?
It's a first step. It allows university-associated seed stock rebuilding, cultivation, and research in the states, and Hawaii is about to become the 14th tomorrow, that have state hemp legislation allowing such things. So it's a hesitant first step, and activists who have been at hemp for a long time shouting about it, you know, maybe are feeling impatient, but change really is on the horizon. And we lost our genetics, and so we do need to do that research to rebuild the hemp seed genetics.
And we should point out that at one time there was a big move for more hemp. I mentioned that 1938 Popular Mechanics article, but in 1942 the Navy tried to order hemp for ships rigging, and there wasn't enough there. And the U.S. Department of Agriculture produced a documentary. It was telling farmers to grow hemp.
Hemp for victory. Plans are afoot for a great expansion of the hemp industry as a part of the war program. This film is designed to tell farmers how to handle this ancient crop, now little known outside Kentucky and Wisconsin.
So that government film encouraging people to grow hemp, and then something happened and it became illegal everywhere. What happened?
Interestingly, that film was made during hemp prohibition. Hemp was banned along with all versions of the cannabis plant in 1937, incidentally, against the protests of the American Medical Association on the psychoactive side. But on the industrial side, sort of as a typo, it was included with everything else, despite being a valuable crop and, of course, non-psychoactive. But immediately, note the drug war is shipping jobs offshore. Immediately, the 40 tons of rigging that the Navy needs, of hemp rigging per boat, is being procured from the Philippines due to hemp prohibition, putting American farmers out of work. And then the Japanese capture the Philippines. So that's why we get hemp for victory. But we didn't really give a big thank you to hemp, including for the hemp parachute webbing that saved George Bush Sr.'s life with his parachute in World War II. So we kind of let it linger nonsensically until this past February.
So were there laws passed after that 1942 Department of Agriculture film? Which it seems odd that they would be putting out a film encouraging people to grow hemp, that which was banned.
The answer to that question is embedded in about 2 seconds of the Hemp for Victory film, which anyone can see on YouTube. It's showing how farmers need to apply for a federal marijuana cultivation stamp, because all the 1937 federal prohibition of cannabis did was it was technically a tax act, but the permits were almost never issued.
Now, World War II, there was a need for it. The Navy needed it for ships rigging. Did the need for hemp also go away after the war?
Temporarily. That was the era where everything that was synthetic was considered good. Everything plastic was considered an improvement. And, you know, for a while with cheap petroleum, forgetting about the environmental damages, but plastic itself, you know, lighter weight, easier and cheaper to produce than metal. And we've got all this cheap petroleum to make it from that. That worked for a while until we were aware of the, you know, zero-sum issues of the planet we live on. So now what people are finding, and this is high-level researchers that I visited while researching hemp, they're finding that these natural fibers, again, like your roommate said, the bast fibers in hemp have a tensile strength greater than steel. They're today in BMW door panels, Mercedes door panels. This is not any political reason. It's performing better in an easily replicable way, lower cost, and lightweight material, too, compared to petroplastics.
Now, a lot of us are familiar with hemp clothing. You mentioned you're wearing some hemp attire today.
Yes, I am, in fact. Yeah, hemp corduroy vest, hemp shirt, and hemp jeans. The first Levi's were.
And where'd the hemp come from to make the clothing?
Yeah, if you don't mind, for that, I would, can I just
sure.
Read a little paragraph? This is the second paragraph of Hemp Bound. I did not know the dream that I'm about to read to you. It was about to come true thanks to Congress. Thank you, thank you. And by the way, full hemp cultivation, not just research, is in this year's Congress being debated in committee, S359 being put forth by Ron Wyden of Oregon. So we could have full legalization this year, not just research. But the second paragraph of Hempbound reads, "My plan the day hemp becomes legal is to begin cultivating 10 acres so that my sweetheart no longer has to import from China the material she already uses to make the shirts I wear in media interviews to discuss the fairly massive economic value of hemp. In a cynical age, we can use one less irony." Just trying to get those carbon miles out of my clothes, you see.
Now, kind of the obvious conclusion that apparently a lot of regulators and a lot of people in the public have come to is that if it comes from marijuana, it has to be that funny smoky stuff that gets you high. But hemp is not psychoactive, correct?
Correct. So no place else in the world even worries about this. In Canada's 15-year-old modern industry, they started in 1998, there has been exactly zero cases of confusion between industrial cannabis / hemp and psychoactive hemp. The definition of hemp in the rest of the world where it's cultivated and now in our new laws here is 0.1% of THC or less. That's the psychoactive component of cannabis. So totally as inert as, a tomato, or any other crop. And in fact, that's what S359 now does in Congress, if it passes, is pulls that kind of hemp out of the Controlled Substances Act. It's no longer in there.
Well, in fact, in Colorado, part of the law that allows people to grow hemp and to grow the psychoactive marijuana specifies that the hemp be grown in different places. Why is that?
Yeah, and that's relevant for Washington, too. Industrial cannabis is a plant envisioned replacing amber waves of GMO grain with green waves of wavering hemp. That would be a good thing for our soil and for our energy supply. There's an energy application from hemp biomass that I've been researching and I'm really excited about. But if we were to make that substitution, we would find that besides being good for the economy and good for the soil, we have to keep those industrial crops 3 miles from outdoor psychoactive cannabis crops because, as many listeners will know, psychoactive cannabis is a real prima donna plant, female-only flowers. And if that industrial hemp pollen gets into it, it ruins the crop.
So if hemp pollen gets into psychoactive marijuana, it ruins it. Just another indication that we're talking about two very different substances in terms of what they'll do to you.
They can never be confused. That billion-dollar Canadian industry we mentioned is for an application from the hemp plant that we haven't discussed yet, which is hemp seed oil. That's where the real money is. So all this sort of pipe dream, so to speak, that I'm writing about and researching and hoping for has a real chance to come into play because farmers are making $300 per profit in Canada off the seed oil, which is 10 times what they're making from GMO corn.
Let's talk more about what it's being used for. I'm talking to Doug Fine about his new book, Hemp Bound, Dispatches from the Front Lines of the Next Agricultural Revolution. We've talked about clothing, and you mentioned hemp oil. There's a hemp house in North Carolina, and there's something in Europe called hempcrete. What are these other applications people might not have heard of?
The construction applications that you just mentioned, I think, are going to be the first killer app here in the U.S. as our hemp industry revs up. It's the seed oil that's going to get people – the nutritive seed oil is going to get farmers planting because of the profit. But then you're left with the fiber. What are you going to do with the fiber? There are these high-end applications. Textiles, China's way in the lead on that. We already discussed car parts, potential 3D printing, other biomaterials that would come from hemp that take a lot of research and skill that I think Europe is a little ahead on. We'll catch up potentially, but the construction is going to be the first killer app. Chopping up the hemp fiber, mixing it with lime, it makes an insulation that has a superior R value or insulating value to pink insulation.
What are the qualities of hemp that make it so universally adaptable and usable?
Michael Pollan believes that we've co-evolved with the plant, that we've continued to breed it for things that we want it to do. And in addition to some of the things, reason why people like to perhaps smoke versions of this plant, also we've created these bast fibers that are just almost unheard of in nature. They're long, they're silky, they're strong. I held the ones that were in the really high-end marketplace, the things that would be used for body armor, nanotechnology, and they felt silky smooth, but incredibly strong, almost like a horse's mane, a well-groomed horse's mane.
Is hemp, or are there grades of hemp?
There are tons of different cultivars, and that's a really important issue too, because I look at the upside of prohibition in that we can look at the rest of the world and what they've done in their modern hemp industry, see what makes sense, and implement all of the above sort of here. So to give an example, Canada only grows for the seed oil. They burn their fiber in the field. So we research a cultivar that's not just for seed oil, but maybe grows a little bit taller and provides a fiber application like the construction hempcrete we were talking about earlier. And a third application that I'd really love to see, entire communities in Europe are doing this to become energy independent, biomass gasification combustion with the otherwise unusable cellulose from the hemp stalk. Hemp produces very high per acre biomass yield.
You mentioned that hemp can be grown in many places, but it's not exactly a prima donna crop like cannabis that's grown for intoxication, but it is not an easy crop to grow.
That's an important point for as we rediscover these cultivars. We were talking a little bit earlier about how the genetics of what was once the best hemp crop in the world are gone. So farmers now are actively in the process of rebuilding the seed stock. And to do that, they have to be detectives. They're spinning the globe and finding places with similar altitude, annual rainfall, phytoperiod or length of day, and saying, oh, okay, so southern Uzbekistan, and looking into the hemp crop there, having embassy officials talk to their hemp farmers, that kind of thing. And that's the way that we're going to rebuild what are the right cultivars or variety to grow here. And we are definitely in our infancy. We're going to have a few trial years for sure.
You see us right on the brink of moving full speed ahead with hemp production and changes in the law that will be imminent. Why do you think it's changed back to a more tolerant, more recognition of hemp as a useful product?
I myself am still astonished that we're really sitting here talking about an incredible pipe dream, a total wish for millions of people who know what hemp can do, actually really happening. Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, the Republican Senate leader, are you kidding me? Leading the charge in the Senate to get hemp in there along with Jared Polis from Colorado.
Why do you suppose these unlikely people have become allies of hemp cultivation?
I think farmers are businessmen and women at heart, and they see the prices that are being made. It is genuinely a way to put people back on the land and grow. And maybe politicians were hearing from that. I spoke to a utility owner in Kentucky who's buying up marginal coal damaged and tobacco monoculture damaged land because hemp grows so well in marginal soils, has very reasonable water needs. And his plan is to do this biomass gasification we were talking about on the utility level in Kentucky with hemp, where when I asked him why, this guy was president of his college Republicans. I asked him why. He said, Thomas Jefferson cultivated this plant. We have a history of cultivation in Virginia and the South.
Doug Fine, thank you so much for stopping by. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It's
his book is called Hemp Bound, Dispatches from the Front Lines of the Next Agricultural Revolution.